Again, if you would, open your Bibles to the first chapter of the book of Romans. And we're going to be discussing some eternal principles that are taught in the patriarchal system, under the Mosaical system, and the Christian system. And basically, as we finish up our study on the book of Romans, we're going to be looking at some things that are beneficial to us as New Testament Christians, as far as our spiritual growth, because we'll be talking about in the last few chapters of this study some basic fundamental principles that Paul teaches to the church of Rome that are just as useful to us today, that helps us to be and become what Jehovah God expects us to become. Now, when we're talking about eternal principles, we're talking about some things that as we go through them, you'll be thinking, well, yes, I understand that. And as we look at the patriarchal covenant, and we look at the Mosaical covenant, and we're looking at the Christian covenant, we're going to be looking at some things that change from the patriarchal covenant to the Mosaical covenant to the Christian covenant. And we'll be looking at some things that are eternal, some principles that continue throughout. For example, we many times just fail to recognize that God, under each dispensation of time, has taught us that His redemption comes through grace, by grace through faith. And we'll notice as we go through this study, there are some things that are impossible to God, for God. And one might think, well, now nothing is impossible for God. He's deity. He's eternal. He's our all. But there are some eternal principles that are impossible for God. For example, the Bible teaches us that it is impossible for God to lie. The Bible teaches us that it is impossible for Jehovah God to be unjust. And the Bible teaches us that it is impossible for Jehovah God to do anything that would be out of harmony with His divine nature. So those are some things that when we really think about Jehovah God and we think about His deity, remember we talked about this morning when we opened the book of Romans. The first thing that the Apostle Paul did was talk about giving glory to God through Jesus for their fellowship one with another. We talked about verse 8 of Romans chapter 1 where he says, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all. And of course he closed by talking about the eternal God. So throughout the book of Romans, there are eternal principles that we need to be mindful of. And of course, we've mentioned just a couple of three this morning or this afternoon, some things that are impossible for God. Then on the other hand, there are some eternal principles that God has always demanded, that God has always required that man be familiar with, and that man be involved in. Just as it is impossible for God to lie, just as it is impossible for God to be unjust, just as it is impossible for God to do anything that's out of harmony with His nature, there are some eternal principles that He expects of us. For example, He has always, under the patriarchal system, He has always, under the Christian system, He has always, under the Mosaical system, required that man live by an obedient faith. Have you ever really thought about the concept that God justifies people today through faith? And many times we fail to recognize that when we mention biblical faith, we don't really even need to mention obedient faith, because it goes hand in glove. If it's faith, it's biblical faith. If it's faith, it's an obedient faith. And God has always demanded His people, whether they lived under the patriarchal covenant under the Mosaic covenant or under the Christian covenant to live by faith. For example, remember, if you will, when we talked about Adam and Eve standing outside the Garden of Eden. They had dealt or dug themselves a tunnel that there was no end to. There was no escape from. They were separated from God. They were without hope in the world. But they learned by faith that there was going to come one from the seed of woman. They later learned it was going to be from the seed of Abraham and from the seed of David. So God at all times has required that His people live by an obedient faith. So Adam and Eve, if they were going to find themselves just before God, was going to have to live by a faith, trusting God, that one day down the road from the seed of woman, there was going to become someone that would come that could solve their problem of sin. Just as we need someone today to solve the problem of sin. Now there's another thing that God demanded under each dispensation, whether it be the patriarchal covenant, the Mosaic covenant, or the Christian covenant. That man do justly, that man love, that man have mercy, and that men walk humbly with their God. As a matter of fact, in Micah chapter 6 and verse 8, there's a beautiful verse that mentions these words, that men are to justly love and have mercy and walk humbly before God. Now that's easy to say, isn't it? But stop, if you will, and think about what we said. God requires under each dispensation that men do justly. Well, you see, it's difficult for us to do justly if we don't understand that there was only one just person and that that just person died on the cross of Calvary to make us just. And that we're to love one another. Again, that's very easy to read and say. But then when we look around, we see where husbands and wives live in such a way that it demonstrates the fact that they do not love each other and they're not practicing what God demands that they practice. He demands that we show mercy. But many times we see people live in such a way and treat people in such a way that they do not demonstrate the same mercy or the same love or the same justice that God gave to us when He allowed His Son to leave heaven, die on the cross of Calvary, to make it possible for us to be forgiven of our sins. And to be able to walk humbly before God. Again, that is something that God has required. They are eternal principles that are just standard principles throughout the Bible. Now let's stop and look at some things that regard faith. For example, under the patriarchal system, in Genesis chapter 6 and verse 22, remember if you will, when we were studying about the life of Noah, and we began to read and see how things were turning out in the world and how God had repented that He had even created the world. And Noah gets the call from God to build the ark. And God gave Noah the instructions as to how long, how tall, how wide, how many windows, how many doors, what type of lumber, how to pitch that ark. God gave him the instructions, told him to build the ark, because he was going to destroy the world. Then, of course, he instructed Noah, here's what I want you to put on the ark. I want you to put this many of this, this many of that. All the creatures I want on the ark. And when we get through with that, the Bible very proudly makes a statement about Noah. Thus did Noah, according to all that God asked of him, so did he. Isn't that a wonderful thought? To think about a man could live on this planet, get a command from God to build an ark and load the ark for the preserving of humanity, And it could be said from Scripture, thus did Noah. You see, Noah acted by faith. Noah built the ark by faith. Noah put those animals on the ark by faith. Noah trusted God, was obedient to God, and saw this trust become beneficial to he and his family in saving the world. Then remember, if you will, when we were studying about Abraham in the 22nd chapter of Genesis. It says in Hebrews chapter 11, verses 8 and verse 17, by faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac. Now notice, if you will, these are eternal principles that we're talking about that took place under the patriarchal system. We're talking about eternal principles that include biblical faith. Faith and trust in Jehovah God. Remember, if you will, a week or so ago, we talked about a definition of faith. And we said that Thayer, in his Greek-English lexicon, talked about faith was consistent upon two things. And that consisted of trusting in God and being obedient to God. So when you're talking about biblical faith, we're talking about two people that lived under the patriarchal system that understood what faith really was. Now we leave the patriarchal system, we go to the Mosaic system. Remember, if you will, Moses was raised up. Moses had to go look old Pharaoh in the eye and say, "Let my people go." After a number of plagues, Pharaoh let the people go. Moses started taking them out of Egyptian captivity, crossed the Red Sea. Here comes Pharaoh behind him with his chariots and armies. And of course, as Paul argued, so you know the rest of that story. How that they went down into the Red Sea and the waters enclosed them, engulfed them, and washed them up on dry ground. Well, later on, Moses would take the children of Israel down to a mountain we refer to as Mount Sinai. Spent a year around that mountain, went up on Sinai, received the Mosaical Covenant, the Mosaical Law, the Law of Moses, a special law for the children of Israel, the Israelite people. And the Bible says about Moses in Exodus chapter 40, thus did Moses according to all that the Lord God asked of him. There's the word again. So did he. So notice, if you will, here's an example of people who lived and died under the patriarchal system. Here is people who lived and died under the Mosaical system that understood what biblical faith was really all about. Now, we've been studying from the New Testament, from that New Covenant. We can refer to it as the Law of Christ. Notice, if you will, in Romans chapter 1 and verse 5, Paul says this, by whom we have received grace and apostleship for obedience to the faith among all nations for his name, among whom are you also called of Jesus Christ. To all that be in Rome, beloved of God, called to be saints, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, it is an eternal principle that no matter what covenant you lived under, whether it be patriarchal, whether it be Mosaical, or whether it be Christian, the eternal principle is that we are to live by faith. What is faith? It's trust in God. When you read God's word and you obey God's word, then you understand and trust that it will be beneficial to you, spiritually speaking, to do so. In Hebrews chapter 5 and in verse 8 and 9, the Hebrew writer had this to say, though he were a son, well, who are you talking about? Well, he's talking about the Son of God himself. Though he were a son, yet learned he obedience by the things which he and being made perfect, he became the author of eternal salvation to all them that do what? Obey him. You see how faith and trust in Jehovah God is so important, and that they are eternal principles that follow throughout the Bible. Now let's look at some things under the patriarchal system. Things that are under the Mosaic system. Things that are under the Christian system that may differ from time to time and from place to place. For example, when we start out looking at the patriarchal system and we think about a specific place of worship, there was none. But remember, we talked about Moses? Now we're talking about not the patriarchal system, but the Mosaic system. Well, one of the things that Moses did while he was around that mountain for a year, can you imagine camping out with 1 million people around a mountain for a solid year? I've seen the time I couldn't hardly stay around my family for a weekend camping out. But he stood around these people for a solid year, and while he was camped out around this mountain, he was up and down on this mountain talking to God, getting the law. One of the things that God taught Moses while he was on that mountain was that not only was he going to give him the law of Moses, the Mosaic covenant, but he was going to teach Moses how to build a tabernacle. Now, the tabernacle was a place where people were to worship. And God told them exactly how to build this tabernacle. God told Moses exactly how to staff this tabernacle, how to break it down and move it from one location to the another, and exactly who was to be an attendant to see that the worship was taking place in this tabernacle. Well, later on, David becomes the king of Israel, and David wants to build a permanent house for God. For all these years, throughout the children of Israel staying in Canaan, after the time that they lived through the judges for 380 years or so, David says, we need a permanent place to worship. You see, they had to move this tabernacle around. It was kind of like a fancy tent. But now David says, we need a permanent tent. God said, no, you can't do it. David, you shed too much blood. But I tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to allow your son Solomon to build that temple. Well, again, you see where the place of worship changed from tabernacle worship to temple worship. Oh, David put all the material together, raised all the money that was needed, and Solomon built the temple. What a grand place it was. Now, under the patriarchal system, there was no specified place of worship. But if you were under the Mosaic covenant, you had to be at that temple at a certain time to worship Jehovah God. If you were under the Mosaic covenant, under the time of tabernacle worship, when the horns blew, when the trumpet sounded, it was a signal for you to go to the tabernacle and worship Jehovah God. Well, think about us today. There's no specified place of worship. You can worship at my house. You can worship at your house. We could worship under a shade tree if we did not have a building to come together and worship. But there is no specified place for worship. So you see how, under certain instances, there are things that could take place under one covenant that no one was commanded or asked to take place under the other. Think about tithing. For example, under the patriarchal system, those people who lived and died under the Mosaic, under the patriarchal covenant, were expected to give a certain percentage of their crop. They were tithe a certain percentage. Well, one of the things that we noticed as we left the patriarchal system and we read about Moses getting the law of Moses or the Mosaic covenant, guess what? Tithing was included in that. One of the things we noticed as we began studying the New Testament or the Law of Christ, tithing was omitted. It was a certain specified amount that people were asked to tithe. Certain requirements of certain crops differed, but there was a certain amount you were expected to tithe. Under the New Testament, the New Covenant that we're living in today, tithing was not mentioned. Well, let's go a little bit further. What about the Sabbath? You hear people today, and you see literature being passed out, remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy. Well, those that lived and died under the patriarchal system, Abraham was never expected to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because he lived and died under the patriarchal system. Adam and Eve were never reminded to remember the Sabbath day and keep it holy because they lived and died under the patriarchal covenant and it was not specified there. Under the Mosaical covenant, it was different. God specified under that covenant, you remember the Sabbath day and you keep it holy. Well, what about under the law of Christ in the New Testament, though? It's not mentioned. We're instructed under the New Testament to remember the first day of the week, not the Sabbath. The Sabbath is not the first day of the week, and the first day of the week is not the Sabbath. They are different days. Well, then, let's think about circumcision. Remember, if you will, Abraham, who lived under the patriarchal system, was instructed to circumcise his children. Moses received instruction under the Mosaic covenant to circumcise their children. Under the law of Christ, remember, if you will, Paul refused to circumcise Titus because the Jews said, you've got to circumcise Titus in order for him to be saved. That was one of the requirements that the Judaizing teachers were trying to bind on New Testament Christians who were not living under the Mosaical system. The Mosaical system had been nailed to the cross. It was not in existence any longer. And circumcision was not mentioned under the New Testament, under the New Covenant. The only circumcision they talked about was the circumcision of the heart. Well, let's stop and think about the father-son relationship. Have you ever noticed how much responsibility people put on mothers today? And grandmothers? Well, it's mama's responsibility to get the children up and get them ready for Sunday school. It's granny's responsibility to make sure the grandchildren make it to church on Sunday morning. And the husband, well, we've got to fish. Got to catch that deer with that right point so we can kill it. So we don't have time, but mama can get the children to church. Well, under the patriarchal system, the Hebrew writer in Hebrews chapter 1 put the responsibility on the heads of the house. When spiritual matters are to be taught, you know whose responsibility it was? The head of the house. The father of the house. Under the Mosaical system, remember if you will, one of the first things we learned when Moses told the people, read the law to them, he said, now you teach your children when they're lying down, when they're rising up, and when they're walking by the way. What do you mean? It means, fathers, you teach your children 24 hours a day. You teach them when they're lying down. You teach them when they're rising up. You're teaching them when they walk along the road. Well, what about the new covenant, the law of Christ? Well, there are some eternal principles there that were same under the patriarchal system, the Mosaical system, and the Christian system. Fathers, Paul said, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. So you see, the father and children relationship was the same under all three dispensations. Well, what about justice? Well, we've already talked about justice a little bit, have we not? Under the patriarchal system? Yes. You needed to be just. Under the Mosaic system? Yes. You needed to be just. Under the Christian system? Yes. You need to be just and walk justly and humbly before God. Now, there were some things that were uniquely Christian. And we've been talking about the patriarchal system. We've been talking about the Mosaic system. And we've been talking about the Christian system. But there were some things that were unique under the Christian dispensation. For example, the New Covenant was the covenant given to Christians. Remember, if you will, back in Jeremiah chapter 31, in verse 31, the children of Israel had been so disobedient to God that Jeremiah told them that God was going to give a new covenant, and that there was one coming that would see to it that that new covenant came into existence. You see, under the patriarchal system, those people that lived and died under that covenant knew nothing about this new covenant that would be headed up by King Jesus. Those people that lived and died under the Mosaic system knew nothing about that covenant that would be instituted by King Jesus because of his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross of Calvary. But under the Christian system, when you're talking about the New Testament, you're talking about the covenant of Jesus. You're talking about that new covenant that was promised under the old system that it would be done away with, and the new covenant would be Christian. It was unique to the Christian Jew. What about forgiveness of sins? Remember, if you will, as we were studying through the Hebrew epistle, one of the things that we learned was that there was no forgiveness of sin under the old law, because the blood that was shed by bulls and goats could not forgive sin. So there was no forgiveness under the patriarchal system. There was no forgiveness of sins under the Mosaic system. Forgiveness was unique. It came under the Christian system. Why was it unique? Because you see, as we said, Jesus willingly left heaven. Jesus willingly took the form of a servant, was made in the likeness of man, and being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. Jesus shed his blood, was placed in that borrowed tomb, and was raised from the dead. So that that ultimate sacrifice, the shedding of that blood, could not only forgive sins of those that lived under the patriarchal system, for those that lived under the Mosaic system, and for all of those that would be born under the Christian system, if, get that word, if they, by faith, under the patriarchal and the Mosaic system, looked to that one that was going to come from the seed of woman, from the seed of Abraham, from the seed of David, from a virgin. If they had trusted God by faith that that man was coming, that he was going to die, be buried, and raised from the dead, if they believed that, they had hope. What about us under the Christian system? If we look back to the cross and we believe and trust that this man Jesus did come, that he did die, that he did shed his blood, that he was placed in that borrowed tomb, and the tomb is empty, then we by faith can understand that redemption is possible through faith, and forgiveness of sin is unique under the New Testament covenant. Well, the New Testament itself is unique for that matter. It didn't exist under the patriarchal system or the Mosaic system. It exists under the Christian system. When you're talking about the New Testament, you're talking about the book of Acts being the hub of the Bible. When you're talking about Romans to the end of Jude, you're talking about books. You know, the theme of Acts is all things are ready. Come to the feast. We got a song in the songbook. But there's a book in that, there's a song in that songbook that says, come to the feast. All things are ready. Why was it ready? Because Christ died, shed his blood. The book of Acts tells us how to come to the feast. The books of Romans through Jude tells us how to stay at the feast. How to grow, mature, become strong in the faith. So that we'll be able to overcome the temptation of sin. The book of Revelation teaches us how, no matter what trials and tribulations come our way. This is a hard, cruel world we're living in, folks. But the book of Revelation teaches us that if we overcome, we can come on over. We can one day expect to hear our Lord say, well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in into thy rewards. The New Testament is a blessing for us. It's a blessing for those that lived under the patriarchal, though they did not have advantage of it. Same with the Christian. Same with the Mosaic. Worship on the first day of the week never existed under the patriarchal system. The Mosaic system was under the Sabbath day. Remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. It's unique for us. It's the day that we come together. It's the day that we sit down at the table. It's the day that we sing and pray and study together. It's the day that we remember his death, burial, and resurrection on the cross. So the Lord's table, the Lord's Supper, is special under the new covenant. Remember, if you will, when Jesus was partaking of the Passover feast, took some of the remains of what was left over, he took the cup and he gave it to them. And he took the bread and broke the bread. He says, we're not going to do this again until I eat and drink it with you in my kingdom. The kingdom is in existence today. And when we broke bread this morning, he was with us in spirit. When we remembered his death, burial, and resurrection. The Lord's Supper had no place under the patriarchal system. Had no place under the Mosaic system. But oh, it has a deep place under the new covenant. Under the Christian system. Isn't it sad that when we read the book of Romans, we read that the Jews, in spite of being God's chosen people, had fallen from grace? Isn't it sad that they were so jealous and so envious that they helped to crucify the Son of God? Isn't it sad that they persecuted the church? Isn't it sad that they have persecuted the apostles that instituted and taught and helped those churches to become a reality? Paul said, you're without hope in the book of Romans. And the Gentiles who had the patriarchal system all the way to the cross, oh, they were sinners too. And they were without hope. Both the Jew and the Gentile, Paul says, you need the gospel because it is God's power to save men. Do you see why Paul was so excited about getting to Rome? You see why he was so evangelistic in his life, so that nothing could stop him, nothing could impede him other than death and his head severed from his body? There was nothing that was going to stop him because he knew about the power of God. We need that same energy. We need that same drive. We need that same determination because let me tell you something. Gimmicks and gadgets might put people in the pew, but it's not going to save their soul. Entertainment might put people in the pew, but it's not going to save their soul. Man can spend vast thousands and millions of dollars doing this and doing that. There's only one thing that can save the sinner from death, hell, and the Hadean world to come. And that's the gospel. You see why Jesus said in Mark 16, 15, and 16, he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. He that believeth in God shall be saved. You see why the book of Matthew chapter 28 closed out by Jesus saying, All authority hath been given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe my commandments. What a beautiful message it is. How desperately we need to believe that, practice that, and preach that, so that people might have the same hope as we have. To one day hear their Lord say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant, enter in unto thy rewards." If you're in the audience this evening and you need the prayers of the congregation in any way, you're not a New Testament Christian. Can you think of anything any more important than to go down into this watery grave and die like Christ died? That's what Paul talks about baptism as in Romans the 6th chapter. He says we're going to be planted with him. And we're going to be raised up from the dead. We're coming out of that watery grave, and we're going to be new creatures in Christ. If you're in the audience and you need to be baptized in Christ, why not take the opportunity as Dale leads us in the